We continue the Shir Gemara. We were in the middle of a story last week, and very, very briefly, we'll go over that story to the point we were up to. Very briefly, just a 2-minute resume. Story dealt with David HaMelech, to whom Hashem said, you must select one of two penalties, because you were instrumental in the death of the Kohanim in the city of Nive, indirectly responsible, of course. Therefore, you must accept one of two penalties, either that you suffer by being captured at the hands of your enemies, or to have your sons, your children, your descendants completely wiped out. So Melech chose being captured, and then through an incident, he was misled, he was led into the Philistine territory, and there, the brother of Goliath, the giant Goliath, his name was Yishbi. This Yishbi captured David HaMelech and tried to kill him. At this time, David HaMelech's general, Avishai, detected that something was wrong, and he set out to rescue his king, David HaMelech. On the way, he saw Arpah, the mother of these giants. She recognized Avishai as a Jew. She was sitting at the crossroads, spinning, knitting with a spinning wheel, and she threw this heavy spinning wheel at Avishai, trying to kill him with it. She missed, and she called to him to please return it to her. He did. She didn't know he was the pitcher on the first rate, top of the team. He threw the spinning wheel at her, and it was a direct strike, split her skull, and that was the end of Arpah, the sister of Rus, the mother of these giants, Goliath and Yishbi. Now her death came in handy later on, as we shall see. The part we were up to was where Avishai came to the spot where Yishbi had David HaMelech, and when Yishbi saw that Avishai had come to help him, Yishbi decided that it was two against one, he would even up the sides. So he took David HaMelech and threw him up in the air, very high up, and put a spear into the ground, the point upwards, so that David HaMelech would fall directly on the spear as he'd be impaled and killed. This Avishai saw, and he said a Shem. He mentioned one of the names of Hashem that had miracle powers. By saying this Shem, David HaMelech was suspended in midair. At that point, while he was suspended, there was a quick conversation between David HaMelech and Avishai. Avishai asked David HaMelech, how come that you're here? How come you left the palace and came to the land of the Philistines, captured by Yishbi? What happened? He told the entire story, the conversation he had with Hashem. And Avishai said to David HaMelech, I advise you to reverse your decision. Follow to Hashem and say you've changed your mind. You'd rather have the other penalty. It is better to have your children wiped out than you remain alive. If you follow to Hashem, you'd rather be saved from the enemy, have your children wiped out. King David said to Avishai, help me. In other words, perhaps my tefillah will not be enough, because once a decision is made in heaven, it's very difficult to reverse that decision. Help me, let's both daven together, and we'll have the decision reversed. This was done. Then Avishai said another shame, another name of Hashem, and King David was lowered to the ground very softly. They both ran. They fled from Yishbi the giant, who chased after them. First, the question of the Gemara is, surely David HaMelech was greater than Avishai. He was the king. He was the tzaddik of that generation. He was the holy David HaMelech. So if it's a matter of being able to perform miracles, then surely knowing a Shem, knowing one of the names of Hashem that would suspend him in midair, he could have done it himself. If Avishai knew that name, it was only because King David taught it to him. So could the teacher doeth better than the student. Gemara answers that when a person is imprisoned, no matter how powerful he is helpless. He must have assistance from outside. In this case, King David's muzzle was very low. He was caught by his enemy, and he had very little power left. At a time when a person is caught, at a time when a person's life is in danger, no matter how great he is, then all forces turn against him. The Gemara says that when a person's end, his time comes, that every little thing could do him harm. So therefore, King David was so weakened that he could not use his powers of holiness to perform these miracles with. He needed outside assistance, even from one who was much lower than him in greatness. Now, the next important question is, though, here, there was a very delicate decision to be made. In fact, in the very beginning, too, the same decision. When King David had that problem confronting him, which to select, to have his children wiped out, or that he himself be captured. At this point, when he found his life in danger, because of Avishai's advice, he changed his mind and agreed to have his children wiped out. We know there are four items in heaven that represent the Merkava, the throne of Hashem. These four are the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the human. And that's why these four items, the Gemara says, are forbidden for a person to ever emulate. A sculpture, a figurine of any of these four may not be kept by any Jew in his home. You cannot have a figurine of a person, a statuette, or of a lion, an ox, or an eagle. These four represent heavenly beings, symbols of heavenly beings. Each one represents a certain type of sphera. In fact, a certain letter, the four letters of Hashem's name. The eagle represents the vav of Hashem's name. The eagle represents the midah, the characteristic of rachamim, of pity, of kindness. But yet, it would seem strange because the eagle is known to be a killer bird. Would you say that an eagle who kills, who destroys its victims, would be the symbol of rachamim and kindness? The answer is that the eagle is of a nature. It is very protective to its young. When it flies, it keeps its young upon its wings, so that if an arrow would come from a hunter to strike the eagle, it would strike the eagle's wings or the eagle's body, but its young would be protected. At the same time, the eagle would swoop down and kill. The eagle is merciless when it comes to strangers, when it comes to the enemy. But the eagle is the softest heart to those close to itself, to its own young, to those that it protects. This is the quality of kenachem of albonim, quality of rachman. We want to show an example of true pity. The pasuk says the kindness, the consideration that a father has for children. Now, in that case, it means that any father, in order to save the life of his child, would gladly surrender his own life for the sake of saving his children's life. We find that in all cases. In fact, even among non-Jews, it's a natural instinct in a father that if his child's life is in danger, he would disregard his own safety. In this case, how could King David have said calmly, coldly, have agreed with Avishai and said, fine, let not my son, but my descendants, all my children, and children's children, be wiped out for all time, just that my life should be saved? How could he have agreed with Avishai when King David is the one who taught rachmi with kindness? King David was the symbol of the eagle. He was the one who destroyed all the enemies of the Jews. In his life, there was constant warfare against the leading empires, the Arab empires at that time, Philistines, Ammon, Moab, and to the Jews, he was modest, humble, and kind. So how could he have done differently than an eagle would do? To be cold-blooded towards his own descendants, his own children. The answer is, as we see later, after they escaped from, that is, they fled from Yishbi, Yishbi continued to pursue them, and they were afraid to go into battle against them because, after all, they were in Philistine territory. They led him on till they came to the border of the Jews. Then they turned to do battle, but to ensure themselves, Avishai said to Yishbi, "I just killed your mother." Yishbi heard this, it weakened him, he was heartbroken, and in his weak state, the two together were able to kill Yishbi. When King David came back, the Jews said to him, as the Pasuk tells us, "You shall never again go out into battle, so that you do not extinguish their Yisrael, candle, the light of the Jews." Because you, as the king, are the Ner Yisrael. Now, it is better for us that we risk your children being wiped out than you. We want you to remain. Because, too, we find that when the question arose between the greatness of King David and best of his sons, King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, the wise King Solomon, the wisest of all men, and wisest, of course, means, what is true wisdom? True wisdom is the wisdom of serving Hashem properly. One who is very clever, who is very shrewd, but sinful, is not really wise. He misleads himself into the worst trap, into evil, to an evil ending. So King Solomon is wise because he was pure in his serving Hashem. Despite this great wisdom, Hashem said to David HaMelech, "One hour of your studying Torah and saying Tehillim is worth more to me than King Solomon's building the Beis HaMikdash and bringing 1,000 sacrifices." So great is King David. Ner Yisrael meant the light, Kiner Mitzvah, Mitzvah Oed. The light, the candle of Damel's Mitzvah was so great, worth more than all of his children, of his descendants. Since this was the will of the Jews, King David complied with that will and agreed to risk the future with his children. It was not due to callousness or disregard for his children. It was due to his ahava, his affection for the Jews, and his high regard to comply with their wishes no matter what the expense. Now the Gemara says, what about this penalty that had to come true? After all, this was an agreement. It was agreed upon by King David. He accepted this penalty that his descendants would be wiped out. How come we have descendants of King David today? How come there are still descendants? And how come that Mashiach, who is a descendant of King David, is coming? He's coming tonight. We hope, we are sure, we have faith. But he is a descendant of King David. How can there still be descendants if the penalty should have been carried out? It must have been carried out. The Gemara answers that it was due to one item, sort of a miracle, that when the city of Nineveh, city of the Kohanim, was wiped out, the reason for this whole incident, where King David was partially responsible indirectly, when that city of Kohanim was wiped out, the Tanakh says that one son of the Kohen Gadol remained alive. He escaped. This son, Achimelech, escaped. The son of Achimelech, the name was Avyasar. Yasser, the son of Achimelech, escaped. And because of that, the Gemara says, for that reason, it was only justified in having one of King David's descendants escape too. When was this curse brought to light? When was it carried out? the time of Ataliah, the mother of Ahaziah. You recall your history. Ahaziah was one of the sons of King David, and when he was killed by Jehu, all his brothers, Ataliah wiped out the rest of the family, but one son escaped. This one son of Ahaziah was the one that was in place of the one of the Kohanim. Because of Yosher escaped from the Kohanim, not all were killed, therefore this one son, Yoash, remained alive too. And from Yoash continued on the family tree of King David. That was, miraculously, the saving point of King David's family. Interesting point, though, since the curse was to completely wipe out, the word of Hashem was Yichle. Yichle l'chalos means to completely erase, to wipe out your descendants. How come that there was one left? True, it was only right, it was only just that one should remain. What about that term used by Hashem? Hashem did say Yichle Zeracha, the children should be wiped out completely. The answer is that term Yichle, it would seem, means to be wiped out completely, and yet it is as a term used, Lo Nishar Ad Echad, wiped out till the last one. But till the last one is Ad Velo Ad Bechlal, till the last, but not including the last one. Where do we find proof of that? With the word L'chalos. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ba'achala Osam Kerega, the time of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, Hashem said, I'll take the whole Jewish nation and I shall wipe them out completely till the last one. Wipe out everyone, and you I will make to a great nation. Very good. Wipe out till the last one meant that one, Moshe Rabbeinu, would remain. So we see that the word Achala there is used, the word wiping out, eradicating completely, but yet completely means that if one is left, it's still considered completely. Hence we can understand why this curse did come true, the penalty was carried out, and yet there was one son left, which kept the light of the family of King David burning, and one that cannot ever be extinguished. Forever and ever afterwards, the family of King David will remain as the royal family. Mashiach ben David will be the king forever afterwards, starting from tonight. Again, we hope, and we hope very fervently. And we go back to the story of Sancheriv. Note the Gemara moves to and fro. We were at that story. The Gemara brought the story of King David as a sidelight. We spoke about the fact that Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, came to attack Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Chizkiyahu the king of the Jews in Yerushalayim. Because he was so pure, so good, he had spread Torah throughout the entire Jewish nation. Therefore, he enjoyed the miracle of having Sancheriv's entire army wiped out by the angel overnight. When that occurred, Sancheriv alone and his two sons escaped, plus a few certain individuals escaped. There were 185,000 generals that died, untold hundreds of thousands of other soldiers died. We had that story in detail previously. Point of Sancheriv's escape, though, the Gemara says something occurred, something which is very difficult to relate, because it sounds so strange. And yet the Gemara says it is true. There are many commentaries in the Gemara who fear to even discuss the story. They try to interpret it in a different light. The fact is that it could be said in a very simple translation, just as the Gemara tells it to us, because we should never deviate from Pshat. Simple translation aside from the Drush that is added. Simple Pshat, though, is a true one here. Gemara says that when Sancheriv escaped after this fiasco, the entire army was wiped out, he was very fearful of the retribution that the other kings would take from him. They would want to avenge the death of their sons, who were princes, who were generals in his army. So he was in a quandary how to escape, how to avoid having to have this confrontation with them. He came to a point, to a place in his wanderings. There he met one. The Gemara says this was a figure who spoke to him, and the wording of the Gemara is this was Hashem. Hashem spoke to him, appeared to him in a figure. Now this, of course, the word Hashem there is not Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's Aleph Dalet, which means an angel of Hashem, an important, a leading angel, very simply translated. Leading angel of Hashem, who was disguised as a human being, and said to Sancheriv, apparently, you look like you're very afraid. You want to escape the possible assassins. And Sancheriv said, you're right. Do you have any advice for me? And the reply was, of course, if you will cut your hair, you will allow me to cut your hair, then you'll be able to disguise yourself. Sancheriv had long hair. It shows again, we speak about those who are in the wrong. Long hair is the custom, was the custom of the wrong side, people on the wrong side of the tracks, like Sancheriv, Ashurim, the evil ones all had long hair. It was never heard of among religious Jews that they wore long hair. That never happened. Sancheriv said, I don't have a scissors. What can I do? So the answer was, there's a house down the road. You can borrow a scissors there. Sancheriv went to this house. The house is lit up. A lot of people in the house. This was all an illusion as far as the fact was concerned. People were all malachim, all angels. He walked in and asked, do you have a scissors to lend me? And they said, it depends. He said, depends upon what? He said, well, we are grinding the kernels of dates. If you'll grind a few dates for us, we'll give you a scissors. So he ground a few dates. He did this work for them. This was all intended to make fun of him, to belittle him, all part of his punishment. When he finished, they gave him the scissors, and by that time, it was dark. When he came, so he was told, you better get a candle because it's too dark to get a haircut now. He got a candle, he lit it. As he bent down to light it, it ignited his beard, which also shows us that in those days everyone wore beards. His beard lit up, and he came, he put it out, of course, but his beard was destroyed. So now the scissors was taken, and he was given, again we're not using the word who, it's understood, he was given a haircut, clean haircut, and whatever was left of the beard too. So he was a strange apparition himself now. He proceeded to his capital city of Nineveh, there to go about, seek a means of retrieving, regaining his high position as king. Well, as we mentioned previously in the Navi story, his plan was to somehow find favor with the power that had destroyed him. He felt that the Hashem of the Jews was so powerful, able to destroy an army like this, he could find favor in the eyes of Hashem, and he could regain his exalted position. Now, in his search in Assyria, Ashur, in Ashur we have the Hore Ararot, Mount Ararat, which is the mountain where the Tevas Noach, the Ark of Noah, landed. And that ark, made of plain wood, many, many generations before, still had some remains left on this mountain. Sancheriv found a board, one of the boards of that ark, and he said, this is the ark that Hashem told Noah to make, and this has the heavenly powers, therefore he will use this board as one to worship. So he took this board to his temple, and there he worshipped it. Now, at this point he felt that this was the right type of worship. Two reasons. One, since this ark was so powerful, recalling the history of Noah, when Noah went to build this teva, he had warned the people for over 100 years, constant warnings of the impending flood that would destroy all of them. People told him, if we will be destroyed, you'll go down with us. You will not live to enter that ark. Time came, he built the ark, he walked in safety, no one could stop him. No one means all the peoples alive at that time tried to stop him, but they could not. Now, Sancheriv felt this was the exact case that he was suffering from now. He had all the nations against him, and this same board of Noah's Ark would defend him. This would be his defense. And that's why he felt he could worship this board, offer a sacrifice to this board. What sacrifice would find favor in the eyes of this board? He knew that Kaviyachol Hashem was impressed by the greatest Jewish sacrifice of all time, the willingness on the part of Avraham Avinu to sacrifice his son Yitzhak. This had endeared Avraham and the Jews to Hashem so much that the Zechus remained for the Jews for all time. Since then, to this day, forever afterwards, we speak about the Zechus of the Akedah. So Sancheriv said to this, speaking, when he bowed down to this board, this temple, he said, save me, and I promise to sacrifice not one, but double. I have two sons, I'll sacrifice both of them to you. This was his promise to his idol, this board. But at that moment, in this temple, were Sancheriv's two sons who overheard this promise. They beat him to it. They heard this, they said, better you than us. They drew their swords, they killed him on the spot. This was the end of Sancheriv, who was the last of Ashur. And from there, of course, we see how an empire could rise and fall in such speed. It was a very short life to the kingdom of Ashur. Sancheriv had practically captured the entire world. Because of his geus, because of the conceit, because he felt that it was his power that had done it, not recognizing the power of heaven, therefore he lost his empire so quickly, never again to rise up. Never did Ashur become an important power again. The Gemara says, leading up to the continuation of the story, Gemara says that there are three things that Yudim Seda spoke about. He said, be careful with three things, this message he delivered to the Jews. One, he said, be careful to respect an elderly person, a zokin, an old man, who was an old Talmud Chacham, old sage, a scholar, who has forgotten his knowledge of Torah. Because of illness at old age, the illness caused him to lose his memory. Now, he no longer is a learned person. Does that mean that you no longer have to respect him? So he said, he zoharu, be very careful, be very cautious, not to decrease the amount of respect that you have for him. Because he is not to blame. Though the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Kenan, that the difference between Talmidei Chachamim and Amei Haaretz, between learned scholars and ordinary peasants, laymen, is that when an ordinary person, illiterate, grows old, he grows more and more foolish, whereas a Talmud Chacham, the older he grows, the more settled his mind is, the wiser he becomes. Yet that's in a normal case. But if an old person, a Zaken, becomes ill, then he's more prone to lose his memory. And if he does, be very careful to retain the highest degree of respect, because we find this to be the case, not among ordinary Talmidei Chacham, but among the greatest of the rabbis of the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was the greatest student of Yochanan Zakkai, the Gemara says when he was old, he became ill and forgot a portion of his knowledge. You find that even with Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rebbe, the one who compiled the Mishnah, also became ill and forgot a portion of his learning. Rav Yosef, Rebbe of Abaye, too. All these cases, we find that their Talmidim, their students, were very careful to speak to them with the same degree of respect. When Rabbi Akiva reminded Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol of things that he had said, things he had learned from him, he addressed them with the same degree of awe, respect, the same word, Rebbe, just as prior to his forgetting. The Gemara says, how do we know this to be a law? Because we find that when the Jews carried the Holy Ark, what was in the Holy Ark? The tablets, the luchais, that Moshe had received from heaven. There were two sets of luchais. First set he brought down from heaven. When he saw the golden calf, he dropped these luchais, and they broke. Why did they break? Because the letters rose up, left them, departed, went back up to heaven. Then he wrote two new luchais, that is, he brought down two new tablets with the letters in the two new tablets, and both of these sets of luchais were placed into the Holy Ark. There was no difference in the Kedusha between the first and the second, to show that an old person who had the Torah just as the tablets had it, he became broken up through illness, and he should be considered the same Terechetz, the same Kedusha, as though he still retained all his knowledge. Same as a new set of tablets. The second thing that he mentioned was, be careful too, this is an item that we have gone through detail, when it comes to Shechita, when you shecht, slaughter of a bird, fowl, chicken, then we know that you have to shecht the simun. In the throat, there is the kuna, the veshet, the trachea, the esophagus. These must be cut in order to ensure that this living thing is no longer alive. It is then kosher to be eaten. Well, there is a law of shechita by animals, a law of shechita by birds. In the case of animals, it is imperative that both simonim be cut, at least the majority of both, both the kona and the veshet. In the case of a bird, just one of the two is sufficient. However, the Yehuda says that be careful too to cut the main artery, the arteries in the throat. These arteries that carry the blood, strong flow of blood, they must be cut, whereas in an animal, that is not necessary. Because an animal, when it is prepared for food, the meat is cut up, sliced into smaller parts, it is then salted, broiled, to remove the blood. It's called koshering the meat. In case of a bird, in many cases it's put on the grill, it's broiled or cooked whole. If it's cooked whole, then salting it will not remove the main part, the main source of blood, which is the arteries and veins in the throat. And therefore, they must be cut, they must be severed at the time of Shechita. Though Rabbi Yehuda is an individual against the Chachamim, to be careful in this case to do as Rabbi Yehuda said, to cut the veridin, the the veins and arteries in the throat of a bird. Third thing he stated was that be careful to respect, show the proper respect to the children of the Amei Ha'aretz. Amenu is an Amei Ha'aretz, which means he is illiterate, he is not learned, yet there are times when he can have a son, a child, who is very advanced in learning. You can have from the lowest form of person come forth the biggest Talmud Chacham. We find this to be true in the case of Sancheriv. What can be lower than Sancheriv? Sancheriv was a goy. Sancheriv was posed, was against belief in Torah. He had a little respect for Torah, it's true, because we see from his last act. And yet from this complete Am Haaretz that came forth some of the greatest luminaries in history. Hillel HaZaken was the Rebbe of 80 of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in Jewish history. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of them, the Rebbe of Elazar HaGadol we just mentioned, plus many others, the Gemara lists. Hillel HaZaken had two Rebbes, Shmaya and Avtalya. They were his Rebbes. They were the descendants of Sancheriv. Such great tzaddikim, Talmidei Chachamim, could come from the prized Amoraites of all time, Sancheriv. This proves that be careful about the children of an Amoraites. He might be an Amoraites, but they could come forth from him ones who are greater Talmidei Chachamim than the greatest of the children of other Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara says, when this message was sent, Yehuda ben Maseda sent this message, be careful about these three items. He said, there is one more item that we must be careful. Keep this additional item in mind. The fact that Hashem is trustworthy. Hashem can be trusted to reward any act of goodness on the part of a person. The slightest act of a mitzvah, one that is so infinitesimally small, is not overlooked by Hashem. We find this to be the case of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. Nebuchadnezzar was the king who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, the first Holy Temple, who drove the Jews out of Israel into Golis. First destruction, 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar is the one who literally conquered the entire globe, climaxing it with his defeating the remains, the remnants of the Jews in Israel at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. What act did he do that merited his reaching so high a status, so great an honor? The Gemara says that one small act, very tiny act, but this was rewarded. Time that Chizkiyahu had experienced these miracles, one that Sancheriv and his armies were wiped out through a miracle. Secondly, when Chizkiyahu was on the threshold of death and he davened, his life was saved, a miracle occurred where the whole world recognized when his son moved back 10 hours, moved backwards 10 hours earlier, all noticed this miracle. The king of Babel at that time, the name was Merodach Baladan, felt that for one who brought about such miracles, it is only fitting that he send a message of greetings, a message of friendship. So he decided to send this message. He wrote up this message himself. He was very careful in how he worded this message. His wording was, greetings, peace greetings to the great Chizkiyahu the king, greetings to Yerushalayim, the greetings to the Hashem, the all-powerful Hashem of the Jews. He gave this message to the messenger, to the runner, told to deliver this message to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the scribe, writer of Rodopaladon. At that time was Nebuchadnezzar. He was not yet king. He was not present at the time. He was the one who wrote up this, any letters that the king needed. He came in a few moments later and he asked the king what was just written. The king told him, Nebuchadnezzar said that was a very serious error. Is that the way you write? After all, since the miracle came about, was done by Hashem of the Jews, surely you should have begun the greetings first giving respect to Hashem, and then to the king. So the king said, you're right. Since you are the one who brought this up, then it's only right that you rectify it. Go and get the message back and change it. Nebuchadnezzar ran out to catch this messenger. He ran three giant steps. At that moment, the Malach Gavriel came down from heaven and stopped him in his tracks. The Gemara says that because he ran, why did Nebuchadnezzar run? For one reason only, because he felt this was a means of giving respect to Hashem. For this act of respect to Hashem, for these three steps, Hashem rewarded Nebuchadnezzar with the privilege of becoming the leading king, leading empire of the world, the king of this great empire, one who would be able to defeat the Jews, because the Jews could be defeated only by the top empire in the world at that time. Just as in the second Holy Temple, it was defeated by the Romans, who controlled the world. So for this three steps that he took, he covered to Hashem, he gained this great reward. Gabriel the Malach came down and stopped him, because if he had taken more than three steps to honor Hashem, the reward might have been that he might have destroyed the entire Jewish nation completely, Chas V'Shalom. That's why Gabriel stopped him, especially this Malach, who is the angel of fire, who was the one who brought about the heavenly fire that destroyed Yerushalayim, burnt, consumed the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it was within his power to stop the flight of the Nebuchadnezzar. And because of this, too, we have a custom that in Shemona Esrei, the enemy walked back three steps, in respect to Hashem, and we say a tefillah sheyibona Beis HaMikdash. Hashem, may it be able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. May our three steps, walking back, counteract the steps of Nebuchadnezzar. Our tefillah is so strong and powerful that we strive with the combined effort of all Jews, these tefillahs, with enough kavanah, will bring about the eventual rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the reuniting of all Jews, even those of the 10 tribes who were lost prior to that, to be led back to Eretz Yisrael through the future King of the Jews, Mashiach and David. This power, we pray that we'll be zecha to see with our eyes very shortly, even now before the end of Pesach, to see, to realize the Geula Shleimah.